Harmony delegation!
All right, everyone, we're going to get into the room. Forest formation.
Line up against Black Hole. Yeah, what's a good way to do this? We need to be facing the door in case they come in and yell at us that we've gone over time. So,
Do you want to be over here? We'll move this way.
Oh, this is good.
This is good. I'm going to stand here so I got on my six. I got eyes on my six.
Yeah. How'd you feel? Nice.
Until we saw the score.
I'm Michael Kelly, Evergreen District. I'm one of your performance judges. Loved your guys' set today. We also have Blair Brown here. So Blair's candidating. That's been the never-ending candidating because of the pandemic. It's 4 years now.
Normally, category school would be like the whole process would be short, but we started right before the pandemic. So I've been in school for this for what 9 years now.
Yeah, I know some stuff. So we're actually wrapping it up. So there'll be a lot of great intro stuff from Blair. So I'm actually going to turn this part of the training process. I'm going to hand it over to Blair, and then I'll have some things to say at the end too.
Well, hi. So I'm Blair. I'm actually from CSD originally. I grew up here in St. Louis, and Ambassadors of Harmony was the first barbershop I ever saw in my life, and it's what got me into it. So I love Central State District. I'm so happy to be home here. I loved your performance. So tell me, how did you feel? How did it feel on stage? What was the experience? What was the takeaway for you guys? Yes.
Just before we went on stage, we were put in a room about like this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was conducive to us at all, because it really kind of, and even though you warned us that it wasn't going to sound right, it just was an
odd. So it drew you a little bit before you
went on stage? It was a bad room, I think, for us to be in before going on stage. I wasn't happy with that.
Yeah, that can really get in your head, those, like, that little difference, right, at the last
time. Otherwise, I was ready with the music. I thought everybody was
It didn't come across on stage that you guys were off or thrown or anything, so if you're experiencing that, that didn't affect your performance, in my opinion. I didn't get that sense that you guys were thrown. Let's just jump into it. We don't have a ton of time, so let's go. So I'm Crazy About You. Let's start with that. That was song one. So, like, what is the nugget of this song? Like, if we had to boil this song down to one word, what is the main emotion that you are trying to get across?
Love.
What else?
Infatuation.
Obsession. I think it's more in this direction, and the title tells you, crazy. I'm crazy about you. I don't like you. I don't love you. You make me insane. The feelings I have towards you are so big that I cannot contain them. And so we want that, and you guys are pushing on. It was nice. It was pleasant. It was exciting. I believe that you like this person, but I didn't believe that you're crazy about them. And so I think you all are capable. We can tell from your level of singing and engagement that you're able to go that little step further. So what does it feel like to be crazy about someone? I wake up in the morning and I can't stop thinking about you. And if I think about you being with someone else, it would drive me insane. And it's this almost like frenetic need, compulsion to be with that person. And so we want to see that a little more in your facial expression, in the way that you use lyrics in the song. So if, I don't know if you guys are able to sing at all. Is it okay to do some singing in here? It's okay to stay where you are. I just want to go through and kind of start to identify some key words that we could make a little bit more of those words, and it'll add some interest. Can we just start Crazy About You from seating? Don't we? Act casual. It's all good.
Ready.
Crazy, baby, I'm crazy. Yes, sir, I'm crazy about you, baby. Won't you be mine? Won't you please be mine? Crazy about you, baby. Want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby. No one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford. You can let me keep you always ever to be adored.
Okay. All right, great. I love it. Awesome. So, again, I see pleasantness, I see love, but I don't feel urgency, even from the onset. Crazy about da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's just very, it's all good, very casual, but not, I'm crazy about you, but da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We're kind of looking for that more cadence, so finding those important words and bringing them out. Does that make sense a little bit? Can we try it again with that feeling of urgency? I'm crazy. My feelings towards you are so intense that I can barely contain them, right?
Crazy, baby, I'm crazy. Yes, sir, I'm crazy. I'm crazy about you, baby. want to be mine,
want to be mine.
I'm crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself.
Crazy about you, baby, no one else on the shelf.
Give me all your love and all that you can afford.
And if you let me keep you always ever to me a door.
Great, awesome. How did that feel? Different? Better? For us, it's more
I'll
exciting.
Tell you, it is way more exciting and somewhere we can start with, too, because it's true. Like, we have different... So, have you guys heard the word tactics before? Anybody, like, in a theater major like that?
Just you.
Jesse, no, he's a theater. There we go. So, we've heard tactics before. So, the thing is, we don't have a shape to it on the song. It's just very pleasant, the entire song. So, very ends up coming across as samey. And why is it that way? We don't try to technically tell you when to change, the music does, and we change the tactics, the type of approach. So how many ways can we say we're crazy about you, baby? Anybody have a way? How can we do it? Anybody film here? How can we say crazy?
Emphasize.
You can emphasize. You can say it with, like, heart. You can say it with, like, frustration because you don't understand me, that you're like, I'm crazy. Don't you understand? Or you can be like, I'm crazy. You can be high in love.
I'm crazy for feel. That's a totally different crazy.
Yeah,
there are so many crazies, right?
So each one's a different tactic. So what you did here naturally, which was nice, which is like, it was just like out of the gate, high energy, crazy. Then the music gives you a change, right? It's like intro's done. Now it's crazy about you, baby. And you make that change. It's interesting now. You take shape through it. And it's not samey. You want to try to add
on
to
and
that?
I think you guys did a really good job of starting the intro with a lot of excitement and building it, and then you brought it back in a really nice way. So, let's take that to even a higher level of showing us that contrast between, and then I'm crazy, and then it goes back to this grind. That was really impactful. Let's try it again and just do 5% more of everything.
So what would be like the target tactics for the two, like one word? Like for the first section, like we'll go crazy at first, and then we'll go like it's a secret for like.
Yes, excitement, and then
it's a secret.
So like another thing to think about is who am I talking to? On the first section, it kind of seems like you're talking to us all in the audience. I'm crazy, da da da. But then when you go in, it's kind of like I'm telling my best friend I'm crazy about this person, mm-hmm. right? So we want to always have in mind where is the person I'm talking to? Is it a huge audience of people, or is she right here? And I'm crazy about you. So if we can just exaggerate those contrasts a little bit more. Sound good?
It's gonna work.
All right, let's do it.
You guys are quick learners.
Crazy, baby, I'm crazy. Yes, sir, I'm crazy. Well, I'm crazy about you, baby. Won't you be mine?
Won't you be mine?
Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby, no one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford.
And you can let me keep you always ever to be adored.
Crazy about you, baby, crazy. Crazy about you, baby, baby, can you see? Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. Want you all to myself.
Yeah, so that feels good, better? Is it getting more exciting from your end a little bit? It feels more and more exciting.
There's definitely, like, shape. Like, yeah, there's, like, a message between each and every little line. And then we can actually find little jumps in there as well. It's like, this is important. This isn't as important. This is important. This is, like, a secret over here. But I want you to know this, you know? And you can feel each one of those.
Yeah.
We'll work on it as, like, a general skill, but I really like that for this course.
Yeah.
Tactics.
Yeah. We don't have a ton of time, so I want to make sure that we get to... We only have 20 minutes, and we're already halfway through. So you guys want to talk about the ballad a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, what's the background of the song? I've never heard it. What's the context? I don't know. Where is it from? What is the story?
It was never intended to be a contest piece, but okay. We all kind of decided we wanted to just experiment with it, try it out. It's actually a piece of Brahms that's been barbershopified.
I wrote choral.
Yeah.
Never
was
heard
there a title? I just wrote it.
I wrote one tear.
The May night.
Okay. I love that you wanted to do it and you did it. I say do what you want to do. So yeah, I really like
artist.
That.
Yeah.
How did that feel on stage?
It was not our best this time around. But it's been a good piece for us to experiment with trying to do different emotions and
mm-hmm.
things, which is not our strongest suit. So to bring some storytelling and try to do something different was I think a really good win for us. It helped us to focus on some different things. And yeah, it's different. It's not expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the typical barbershop. But we knew that going into this that, okay, so
yeah.
We're just going to go and we're going to do it.
I think it came across what you just said that you were experimenting with things and trying. It did come across.
Yes.
Like, congratulations. That
Absolutely.
Was successful. We saw a jump from the first song to the second song, and okay, they're playing with things now. We appreciated from the audience you taking our gaze up here and taking our gaze over here. It was effective, so that was cool, and I think you should celebrate that you tried that, and it was interesting from the audience. It was fun to watch. I would say with things like that, there's a tendency if not every muscle of every fiber of your being is engaged in that, it can look like kind of a movement for its own sake. So there are definitely standout members who I felt the emotion and lyric of the song compelled them to look this way. And there were some singers where it came across like, I was told it is now time to look here. So I will do that. Oh, now I'm supposed to look over here. I will do that. And so the disparity of singers that were completely engaged and it was a natural extension of their storytelling stood out in a sea of a couple people who were like, oops, and then there was some like lateness, so that was a little distracting for us. So if you want to stick with that, if you want to do it, you just want to make sure that those movements are organically growing out of the emotion in that moment, whatever the lyric offers you. And speaking of lyric, we found it hard to hear some of the text of the lead line to the point that I wasn't even quite sure some of the words. And so if you have the ooh sections tended to be almost more impactful because we could see that emotion coming out and we weren't distracted by, I didn't quite catch that lyric, right? And so maybe a little focus on, have you ever heard this expression in choir or any choral setting? Take your diction to a level that you think is way too far, and then we'll bring it back, but it's never too much. You know what I mean? We never actually need to bring it back.
I've never heard that before.
Has anyone ever said that to you? So maybe if this is a song you want to keep going forward with, let's take that diction and go to what you think is just a ridiculous level of over-pronunciation, and it probably won't be, and if it is, he'll have you bring it back. That would be my advice with that. Because we want to hear, I can tell that there's a poem or a beautiful text happening, and we would just catch a few words popping out rather than getting that whole story. Does that make sense? Do we want to, would it be okay if we start
sure.
that one a little bit? And you could probably correct a little bit of the
diction. Just gives the E flat and let's just start when the silvery moon come up. And I mean, it's very poetic language. It's
yeah.
not typical.
Yeah.
You know.
And I would say, just to add on to Blair, like, I know scores can be frustrating and it's never fun to get a score you're not expecting. This is going to be the easiest one to fix if you keep it going, because we literally could not understand what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the audience couldn't. For pure diction reasons, we don't know what was happening. And so holistically, I think you noticed everything was down. And maybe music has some other things to say about barbershop, but we will universally say, we get the diction fixed, so much will be happier for you on the score side.
Yeah.
Could the diction and the words understanding that be a problem with the translation of English from German?
No.
It was messy. We just could not hear what you were saying.
Okay.
And then now, granted, there's long sections where we could.
Yeah.
But imagine telling a story where, like, you know, 20% of it's gone. It's like, you're trying to fill in the gap, and if you miss a little bit of it, we can't follow.
We want to go with you.
We do.
I think, in the pit more than anyone, we are ready to go on that journey with you. We're like, ooh, take me on a trip. So when that lyric gets mushy, we just kind of are like, I can't follow along anymore. So keep bring us in and keep us in by overly, you know.
We're going to do that right now?
Yeah,
okay.
Let's try it. I bet you can just fix it first time out in a lot of ways.
When a silvery
moon
when the silvery moon shines through the fluttering leaves.
Yeah, it's still not there. So I think it's coming from the diphthongs that are not like pronounced enough. When the silvery moon, it's like the shadow dip song, so it's the back end of the dip song, moon, all of that has to be actually said. You can't muddle the words, we cannot hear it. I would say it was still not where we wanted
it. I think another thing that will help is, let's find the important words in this phrase and give those words color. So there are lots of great words here. Silvery, fluttering, there's so much to do with that. when the silvery moon shines through the fluttering leaves. That helps me hear it. Those words are all very naturally poetic. Those are really beautiful, easy words to do something with as a singer, right? So show us, what does silvery as a color sound like? What does silvery sound like? What does shine sound like? What does your face look like to say shine? What does fluttering look like? Those are all little emphases you can make with your color of your voice that will help us hear the lyric as well. Let's try it again.
I like that.
When the silvery moon shines through the fluttering leaves, when the pale drowsy light over the fields she throws.
She what? She what? She
throws.
Throws
over the fields.
Yeah. Already better.
Better.
Does it feel better? I hope so, because we got a lot of that.
I was listening to the lyric there, and we could hear most, but we can't miss two or three. I'm still missing two or three. So there's different approaches to it. My technical boring way is like, let's add more to the different songs so we shape the entire thing. I actually like Blair's better. I should have said it like that, where it's like...
Right. I'm here to teach him, really.
This is right.
Is it legal in context to have the text behind us in a bouncing red ball?
That is such a good idea. You should talk to the contest administrator. So ahead.
I like it.
But this idea, what we just talked about with that first sentence, so then you guys went into the next line and chose not to apply any of that. But you are capable. Your director could go through with you word by word and show you where these special words are, but you know. So I think you guys are at the level where it's time to start saying, I as the individual am as accountable for every word of the delivery of the song as my director, as the guy next to me, as the best singer in my section. You are the guy. You are the guy. And so don't give yourself permission to say, I'm going to disengage a little bit. Chad's got it. No, Chad doesn't got it. You got it, right? Yeah. So as you go through the song, you know how to find these beautiful poetic words and bring them out and add that sparkle to those special words so that we receive the message. Does that make sense and good? I think you guys, I think keep it if you like it and just tell us a story. Tell us a really clear story. Beautiful singing. I thought you did excellent today. I wouldn't be disappointed with my scores. I thought you sang really well, and I thought you guys did a great job. And so I think keep working on it, and I hope to see you come back and do it again. And I want to be taken on a journey. Do you guys have any questions about the eval or your experience today or anything during the pattern or anything like that?
I have a little time for one more.
That's
a 5 minute.
I thought that was 5 minutes.
Still.
How many minutes has it been? Okay. Yeah, let's just keep going.
So I got a couple more on this one. So on your cutoffs, there's quite a few cutoffs where we come to an ending, stop, then we keep going. So on cutoffs, energy can't cut off. Energy is invisible, and it can keep going. So when you go into that, you can't go off. You got to keep the energy going. So if we had, and we also have to come in with energy too, so that we feel like there's still a sentence going. Right now it feels like sentence stop, sentence start. And we want it to be sentence stop. And then also, it kind of ramps back up with the energy. Where was a really good one for that? Maybe even just the... I want to give you an example of it. Can you know where your first cutoff is?
Why don't we start at... Somewhere Hidden in the Leaves. Let's do that. Got it in your brains? Try it. Let's not do that. Let's just go where O Vision is Smile. We'll start there.
Yeah.
Ready?
Where O Vision who smiles streams like the rosy dawn through the depths of my soul.
Yeah, I know that one's already better. On stage, through the dawn, through the da-da-da-da. Yeah, that's how it came across on stage. Mm. Maybe that's one of those things on stage that wasn't as impactful. Remember, as we ramp up, it's like, do the da, 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 da. So there's silence there. There's never a cutoff there. The cutoff is just for audible sound, but we want the energy to keep going. We have a moment also at the end where you come down the tiles. This is down the tiles of the term we've talked about. So I want to congratulate you. It was nice. Nice to see a nice plan move pull off well. It was specific what we're looking for. And I really enjoy that. Do you like doing that? Like,
yeah.
This is the down the tiles moment. So I like that. Whose idea? Just a performance team. Nice job.
It's been a little organic, but we've all kind of come
up with it. Okay, very good. So we like that. Now, when we have moves like that, they actually should fit within the energy. Now, we were a little lost, but musically, the energy was telling me it's a little bit more sensitive than it is. So as we come down the tiles, there's many ways to come down the tiles. We could be, like, you know, furious, or we could be, like, gentle, or we could do all sorts of things. But I want to make sure that it matches the emotion. So double check the emotion there as we come down the tiles. You guys did a nice, crisp, sharp one like it was an uptune. That's what it felt like to me. It's like, boom, we're down the tiles now. So it doesn't say that you're in the music. It says this is the thing we're supposed to do right now. And we want it to another level where we have something to say to the audience. And if it matches the emotion, your down the tiles move will be more effective.
Was that in the phrase where "where in the world are
you?"
Yeah.
It's on you. Where in the world are you?
Yeah.
Right, and it's out of the fabric of the emotion.
That moment stood out because it was the first time for me that I felt actually really invited into your experience as an audience member. Like I felt really included in that moment, so it's powerful. And it, as if it's more that the emotion drives the motion, it'll be even that much more impactful.
Absolutely. All your actions and performance should be within the framework of like what are we saying.
Anyway, where are you guys living now?
We live in LA now, area.
Is he singing about LA group?
No, not yet. We don't sing with anybody.
But you're traveling.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's sing a tag later. Come find me.
Okay.
I'm like already.
She's with Double Date.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
She what?
Double Date.
It's a quartet.
It's a mixed quartet.
Two guys, two gals. Two metal mixed quartet. They started.
One talented. She's also coaching us down at Harmony U.
Yep. All right. Guys, we did well. I mean, there are things that we've talked about that we didn't execute, but overall we had a really nice performance, and you guys should feel very happy.
So you did prompt him with all the things to say.
Did not prompt him at all. So I mean, the same things that we've been working on are the same things that we will continue working on. We know what we have to do. I think that yes, we took a calculated risk with May Night. We knew that it was outside of a box. So we also talked full on that that was probably going to have an impact on where we landed in the end. So, yeah. Hi.
Hi, guys.
How are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Well, stuck in a box here.
James Estes, singing category. Land O'Lakes District. Any first-time course competitors to this stage? All right, nice job. Welcome to the sport of barbershop. Singing category for you guys, mostly the technical stuff. Are you in tune? Are you singing together? Are you singing with good, relaxed vocal quality? And from a vocal expression standpoint, are we telling the story of the song that we're singing, or are we just singing notes and words? So, Chris and I were very close in our scores, 66-65 on song one, 60-59 on song two. Tell me about the stage. Did you feel like you could hear each other coming off? Was it dead stage? Was it what you expected?
It's better than I expected.
Yeah.
We were here 3 years ago, and it was a disaster, we thought, at that point. And that I did not feel it was nearly as bad.
I know the first song, I did not hear the pitch. Right in the front row, I did not hear the pitch at all. I don't know if anybody else had that, but I think there was too much. We maybe started a little too soon, or I'm not sure. But
yeah, the applause kind
of. So I'm thinking to myself,
rolled over the pitch.
I kind of knew where it was, but I didn't hear it.
Same.
And coming off stage, did you feel like what? Performance-wise, did you feel like, yep, that's what we did, or what's the price point, or that's the best we've ever done, or?
It was down some.
Down some?
Yeah. It wasn't okay. The best we've ever done.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
But it wasn't the worst.
Wasn't the worst. from a rehearsal standpoint, are you guys pretty regular now back?
Yes.
Pandemic stuff is over. That's good. That's good. I was working with a group that's close to me up in Wisconsin, and they took the entire month of just this past July off because it just spread throughout the entire course. Mm-hmm. So I know some courses deal with that, so I'm just curious if everything is going well. So it sounds like you guys are helping. So Crazy About Your Baby, new song, yes? Old song?
New to us, yeah. I mean, we've worked on it for, I don't know, maybe what, 7 or 8 months?
New this year.
Yeah.
It's so one of the things I want to compliment you on, because I used to teach this song to like clinics and stuff, like introducing barbershop, you know, to like high school and college kids and stuff, because it's, you know, it's just got good chords and you can teach kind of that wall of sound that's in the barbershop style. And one of the things that you guys I thought did pretty well on with the wordiness of this song is keeping that smoothness. So if that, I don't know if that's something that you're actively working on, but it didn't feel too interrupted. So and that's a challenge on this one just because of the words. So really, really nice job. It's one of the things we're looking for in terms of unity and making sure that we just get that constant non-interrupted sound. Really nice and free tone to the chorus as well. I didn't feel like I was ever being sung at. Like sometimes the choruses are, you know, I'm going to sing, you know, make sure you hear me and all this kind of stuff. And we get individual voices. Generally speaking, for song one, we just get this nice, very rich and resonant chorus sound. And we can start kind of cleaning up the sections just a little bit. I think we're going to even bump that score up even more. Let's see. Let's see. Attack and release. So a couple times, just watch on. There's the third verse. The time is coming, honey, will you please be my wife? I will take care of... That little offbeat thing, that's in the arrangement. Just watch that. Everybody is coming in together on that. There's a couple of us that were like, oh, I'm going to do it like the first and second verse. I will take care of you the rest of... Or whatever the words are, I think those are the words. But just watch those offbeats, because, again, that's an attack-release synchronization thing. It's one of the things we're looking for.
Maybe we should do that. Stop that we had. We already practiced with, giving a syncopation in there. So.
Anytime you can put anything kinesthetic, even if it's just like a... That totally helps. So and as a singing guy, I don't care. You know, performance guys might be like, let's really go with the song, but it's a singing contest, right? So I would say from an expression standpoint, the biggest encouragement that I would have is exploring, if we're keeping the song, if we're performing the song for whatever audience, contest or not, how do we make each verse different? How do we, even though this is kind of just a fun little rhythmic song, how do we create interest from Crazy About You, Baby, Want You All to Myself, or After We Are Married, We Will Raise a Family, or whatever the second verse is, and just building that. So, talk to me about the second song. I've never heard it before.
You wouldn't probably.
I'm not surprised.
Maybe the other way.
My degree is in choral music education, and I've never heard that arrangement. So,
you never heard that arrangement because he wrote it.
Well, it was again. I feel like this is going to be what we do with every judge because it was not originally intended to be a contest piece. It was something that COVID, and I just thought, let's do something different and unique. And so we took a piece of Brahms and kind of made it a barbershop tune.
Yeah.
And we kind of glommed onto it, decided we liked it, and we wanted to just give it a shot, see what happens.
So. I don't know what the last judge told you. It works. I felt like it was just very careful. I just feel like the sound and the resonance and just the overall maybe commitment to the sound, not commitment to the song, but just commitment to the sound, it just felt tentative, I think. And I think that just kind of set up probably the scores across the board. I'm guessing they all kind of drop a little bit from song one to song two. And I think it just starts with just not being, even though it's Brahms, even though it's classical, and even though it's maybe a little bit more tender, intimate, whatever word you want to use to describe it, we still have to ring chords. And so that's going to be, in contest, that's going to be the name of the game. Yep. So we can still ring chords at soft volumes, but we still have to ring chords. So one of the things that I wrote on here is ring your softs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the arrangement well enough, but it's like lullaby and good night. I'm exaggerating. As opposed to lullaby and good night. One has a more connected sound. One is a little bit more off the breath. So if I, my second example would be more like what you were doing in song one. Second example, exaggerated, would be like song two. So I think that's really, I mean, the overarching theme is just going to be that. Just don't be afraid to ring a chord, even if it's Brahms. Mm-hmm. Brahms would appreciate it. I'm sure he would.
We've talked a lot about that. So mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah. And then let's see here. There was a really nice artistic moment through the depths of my soul. Mm-hmm. Just it got a little chill there. You know, it was like that's just really, 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 really nicely done. So those types of expressive moments are opportunities. Again, when we're ringing chords, they're going to be even more impactful. But I mean, the way you articulated those and the way you kind of brought those words out. Was a really, really nice job to the point that I actually wrote it down. So, really, really nice job. And then in this piece, I'm going to use the term under singing. Don't take offense to that. It just means the sound was just off the breath. What we start hearing is single voices sticking out. And so, and really from all four parts. So it wasn't any, I heard you the whole time or I heard you the whole time. It wasn't anything like that. It was just, there's now individuals in the chorus as opposed to kind of that core unified sound. Because in singing for choruses, we want a big quartet. That's the goal in contest chorus singing and really the barbershop style. So, overall, there's a lot of opportunity for musicality and expressiveness in this piece. I think it's like, all right, yeah. Guys, let's just sing it. So,
yeah.
Can we do
that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to do that, actually, if you guys are up for it.
Yeah. Right into Fun Silver.
Sure, let's try it.
When the silvery moon shines through the fluttering leaves, when the pale drowsy light over the field she throws, and the nightingale warbles, I go sadly o'er hill and
Can we just take that much? Just speak through the words for me quickly. So
sure. When the silvery moon shines through the fluttering leaves, when her pale, drowsy light over the fields she throws. How's that? Mouthful, right?
It's very happy. And then after that, though, I think there's...
Yeah.
And the
nightingale warbles, I go sadly o'er hill and vale.
Why do we go sadly over hill and vale?
It's a song about loss. Ultimately,
lost love.
What if we added an element, and I'm going to borrow a little bit from my performance colleagues. What if we added a little bit of frustration in the sound without adding any tension in the vocal mechanism? So it's happy, it's free, it's relaxed, it's remembering all of the cool things, and then when we get into that softer section. Let's add an element of frustration instead of mopiness without adding any tension vocally. Can we try that in the same spot?
From where?
Yeah, when the silvery again.
When the silvery. So happy, full and proud, happy.
When the silvery moon shines through the fluttering leaves, when her pale drowsy light
So that's the idea. So, you know, using, you know, left brain, kind of the more technical stuff, it's really about the connection of the breath to the sound, even on the soft sections, even when we're talking about the last words that we just sang. From a right brain perspective, when we're talking about the performance category, it's really maybe adding angst, maybe frustration, whatever's going to get your voice to project that same level of core sound, the intensity of the sound, the fundamental sound that causes chords to ring, just at a softer volume. Okay? That make sense? Nice. Let's see. And then the other challenge of this one, I think, the fact that it's not normally what you would hear in a contest.
Exactly.
I applaud you for that, by the way. Thank you for bringing something fresh. You almost have to work harder to articulate the words, because there were some spots where we just didn't understand the words that you were singing. So that's okay. I mean, you could have been singing the original German, and
next time.
Just seeing who was listening. Just kidding. No, but like I said, thank you for bringing something fresh. Any questions about anything that I've said thus far?
What about tuning and balance and all that?
So let me answer that by going back to song one. So song one, no balance issues. I don't have anything. I don't have balanced circle. So no balance issues. Fine. Thank you. And then tuning, I think is going to be helped a lot by rehearsal-wise. How much time would you say you spend in sectionals every week?
Not a lot. Okay. We were doing that before COVID. We kind of got away from that after COVID. We don't have a lot of the same membership and ability to split as we once did. So we haven't done a lot of sectionals.
Okay. Even if we have the ability to do duets and just kind of break it apart. I mentioned earlier that, you know, barbershop style for choruses is really a big quartet. And so even though a lot of us may have come from the mindset, oh, sectionals, that's where we learn our notes. That's where we make sure everybody's singing the right notes. It's really an opportunity to hone in the unification of all of the voices within that section, so that we're making sure that everybody's contributing equally. Nobody's giving too much or too little, because sometimes guys will hold back because they're afraid to, you know, mess up the sound or what, you know, whatever term you want to use. But really what we're looking for is just a unified one voice section. And so from a tuning standpoint, I find that clears up 90% of your tuning problems. If all of the guys sound like one voice, a lot of the tuning just clears up on its own. So when you don't have that unity, it's not that things are out of tune, it's just we hear certain voices that might not be agreeing with the others on intonation. And so you hear like, oh, there's leads are, you know, they have the right note, but we've got deviations within the lead section on some are in tune, some are sharp, some are flat, you know, what have you. So I would encourage you if you can get back to the point of doing four sections, 20 minutes, you rehearse 2.5 hours, 3 hours a week?
Usually two.
Two hours a week?
Yeah.
So yeah, out of 2 hours, even if you can...
Two and a half.
Yeah, if you can do 20 minutes, even a week, even if it's stuff you know, it'll just help clean up those sections. So that's going to clear up a lot of those intonation. But yeah, didn't write down anything about balance. So he gave me a warning.
How about vowels versus consonants?
Well, I mentioned song two. So song two is going to be really more focused on the consonants. And then, as I said on song one, I thought you guys really did a really nice job of keeping the flow of that very wordy song. So not a distraction for me in terms of vowels versus consonants. Song one was very smooth, like barbershop is supposed to be, and yet I could understand the words. Second song, we've already talked about in that regard. So, but
great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Yeah.
Congrats and forward to seeing you here in a bit.
Sounds great. Where are you from again? I'm sorry.
Land O'Lakes.
Land O'Lakes. Okay.
Just north of Milwaukee. So
great. Very good.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I apologize for my comment.
Oh.
Right. So barbershop audiences cannot be.
Yeah, it's on here. It's on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Is someone else come in now? Or?
Hang out.
Yeah, there should be another one.
Because I thought they said that the next session started like 1:45.
1:40.
So maybe they must not be using this room.
I don't know.
No, the other 1:40 people are at the hotel.
At the hotel.
Oh, there is a
different room. I thought there were some from here too.
Yeah, there was one at least from here too.
But not in course.
I can do that.
Music.
Quiet group.
You worked on the fact that everybody within the section needs to sound like
the rest of them.
Yeah. That's just something we need to work on.
It's tempting to do that, but yes,
right.
We need to continue to work on it.
The number one thing I got from both judges is we made the right choices as far as where we may have been hesitant the May night. It's been confirmed. It's new. It's fresh. And it's something to be heard. So kudos to you for having that confidence in Brendan and I to get that across for you. So.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm John Burry.
Hi, John.
Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm John Burry. I represent the music category, and it was my pleasure to hear your performance today. Thank you for sharing it with me. Do we have anybody that has not competed in a barbershop contest before? A couple of you. Great. Fastest 6 minutes of your life, right? Yeah. Lots of fun. So for you especially, and for those that may have forgotten or just don't know, in the music category, we're adjudicating the song and the arrangement as performed, and the degree to which you can, I like to say, mine and exploit the source material to create good barbershop art is the degree to which you please audiences and get scores and things like that. So in a nutshell, that's what we're talking about. So we're actually, in the category, we have five main planks that we're looking at. The first one is musical theme, and we're talking about the building blocks of music, melody, lyric, rhythm, harmony, and whether you are identifying and demonstrating and performing for us thematically what the music suggests you should be doing. Then there's consonance, which is the degree to which the source material presents appropriate barbershop chords and textures so you make good barbershop sound. We sing lots of dominant, we sing lots of major chords, lots of dominant barbershop seventh chords. We don't sing a lot of minor chords, we don't sing a lot of jazz chords because those chords don't ring and expand like the other ones do. Then we have delivery, which is the degree to which you artistically deliver a song, whether it's a ballad and free delivery or whether it's a tempo song. Execution is the fourth, and that's if you're starting and stopping at the same time, if you're turning vowel sounds and tuning all correctly at the same time. And the last one is one of my favorites. It's called embellishment. And embellishments are really indigenous to our art form. No other art form really has them, exploits them like we do. We're talking about call and response, back time, key changes, swipes, that type of stuff. I like to call those, stole this from the great Kevin Keller, emotional propellants. Embellishments are not typically just given to you by the arranger so you get some extra notes for your membership. They're given to you to make better barbershop music. So that is now a complete, hopefully, detailed enough explanation. Any questions about that so far? We sang Crazy About Your Baby, so pretty clear. That's a barbershop song. We're circling. I noticed nice, easy singing. It was clear that the theme of the music was a tempo theme, and you were all moving and swinging. Wonderful. There's a lot happening. It's a verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. So the trap is there could be a lot of sameness between those, and the arranger does as much as they can to give you different treatments of those, but I think we've got, is it three verses, three choruses, or four, that are all relatively long and separated, so if there's not enough magic just to carry the singer, then the singer has to bring other things to bear to create the art and give us more unity and contrast and satisfying proportions. That's what we want as an audience. So how do we do that? We change dynamic plans. We sing words differently. We might pull it out of tempo. In this particular song, you probably don't want to, but that could be an option. We make other musical choices that give some release and some variety to the piece. So that's a trap in the song, but you sang it really well. The note I have for an area to improve, because it's a very wordy song, is to get a lot of wall of sound. Have you worked with James Estes, the singing person already?
He was just here.
And what did he work with you on?
He was talking more about bringing emotional.
Ah, okay. Artistic variety.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'd just like to maybe just address a couple of things and throw a couple of things at you that might. Yeah, you can say, no, we don't want to do that. Or, you know, well, maybe that's something we can explore. I'd like to explore just creating a little better wall of sound so we can take more advantage of the barbershop goodness in that particular piece. Okay? In the second song, I understand it's your piece. And I wanted to catch you before we came in because I recognized that it didn't succeed probably as much as maybe you had hoped for. Are you okay talking about this?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine. Okay. Same thing every time. No, it's okay. It was a piece that I wrote during COVID just to kind of do something different.
Yes.
It was experimenting with taking a piece of classical music, Brahms,
yes,
and making it a barbershop thing.
Nice.
And we just kind of played around with it and kind of decided it's unique and different, and we just thought,
awesome,
let's see what happens.
Thank you for bringing it to us. So
might be able to stump the judges.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got some question marks. I'm trying to follow the form.
It wouldn't be the first time.
We're human, right? The piece is one I had not heard before. So what is required is lyrical clarity for us, an unknown song. So the oohs were obviously understandable, but I wanted to hear, but I couldn't even write the title down, unfortunately, because I didn't know what it was. It was very pretty, and technically it met, the circle of fifths requirements in a couple of places, but the piece didn't feel barbershop-y, even though it had those minimum dealer corner barbershop elements. And I think that's what happened to all the categories. And I suppose that if you were to render this again, I could see you probably getting a higher score because you could make it even better than it is now, and you could make sure you're featuring much more those special barbershop elements to go, hey, here it is. You missed it last time, but this is it right here, and we can make it stronger for you. After chorus one, I got a note of in my eye. I wrote cooking here. Something's really happening where something is developing. I'm understanding lyric, and things are moving. Noted a great key change. I'm sorry. All I really had was lovely delivery, but lyric clarity for unknown song.
Yep.
Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard right, loud and clear. Let's play with Crazy About You a little bit, and let's work on a couple of silly tools to try to make, for lack of a better term, we'll call it wall sound. Darren, you want to just sing where you are?
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
What a tricky room to be in.
Yeah.
Are you an intro or verses?
Chorus. First verse.
Okay. You know first verse? Yep. Ready?
Verse.
It doesn't matter. Pick one.
Let's just go with the verse then. Sorry. First verse. Let's clarify. Okay.
So no intro.
Yeah. First verse. Ready? Again.
Crazy about you, baby, what's wrong with myself? Crazy about you, baby, no one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford, and you can let me keep you always ever to be adored. Crazy about you, baby, crazy. Crazy about you, baby, yeah, yeah, yeah. Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. I want you all to myself.
James has already obviously elevated you quite a bit, so the stuff I was going to bring to you probably won't have as much impact, but I'd like to give you two silly little tools to try and see if they work for you when you're trying to build this type of wall of sound as well. I'm going to call these are vowelometers, and I'd like you to take the four fingers up here and just gently put them on the upper gum ridge, and then the thumb on the lower gum ridge. And just monitor how much of this is happening. You can put it down for a second because I want to tell you a story. When you see a trumpet player, the shape of the trumpet and the bell doesn't change when it's producing notes and tone, right? Similarly, vocally, we find a set that works for each individual because we're all physiologically different, but it sort of gives us maximum space and ring and relaxation, and then the vast majority of the vowel sounds are just monitored by a loosely but firmly controlled tongue, right? So if we're doing a lot of this, we're making the bell of the instrument go wacky. So I'd like you just to, we're going to put our fingers up here and monitor to make sure we're not flapping around and see if we can make the tone even more connected, all right? Here we go.
Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby, no one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford. And you can let me keep you always ever to be adored.
A little improvement, mm-hmm. Or at least. So, and what does that do? Does that make you sing better? Maybe it takes your mind off of all the mechanical things we feel we've had to train ourselves to make tone. So that's just one thing. Here's another fun one. How many of you have grandkids that have those Play-Doh extrusion machines? Mm-hmm. Right? So you put Play-Doh in, and if you push it too slowly, it just kind of crumbles. And if you push too fast, it kind of squirts out. You've got to have this perfect, I'm not going to use the word, this perfect delivery of the product through the extruder. So I'd like to imagine now that the tone is being extruded through this wonderful instrument you've got here. So, and to help you with doing that, go ahead and feel like you're pulling the Play-Doh out while you're singing. Crazy about you, baby, blah, 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 blah. Here we go.
Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby, no one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford. And let me keep you always ever to be adored.
So again, not a technical singing solution, more of kind of a mental thing. It takes your mind off of what you're doing. But now, if these things are working for you and you like the result they're producing, then the key is internalizing for yourself how that feels so you can replicate it without having this choreography for all of your songs, right?
Right.
Okay, let's talk about execution just a little bit. Hard to tell if you're intending to take breaths in certain spots or not, because some are cutting off and some are not, and when we are cutting off, we're not cutting off at the same time, we're not giving the phrase full value. So I'd like you to start them, and then I'll watch you for a cue as to where you perceive that they should be breathing.
Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. Crazy about you, baby, no one else on the shelf. Give me all your love and all that you can afford, and you can let me keep you always ever to be adored. Crazy about you, baby, crazy. Crazy about you, baby, baby, can't you see? Crazy about you, baby, want you all to myself. I want you all to myself.
Well, thank you. That was great. So, I think maybe perhaps we had more focus now on the director's hands that we succeeded more than we would have otherwise. What that tells me, and I had the thrilling and terrifying experience of evaluating the Ambassadors of Harmony first in this thing, and I was pointing out that it felt like the director might be pulling a little more than the singer should be supporting, and he says, well, isn't it my job to watch the director and do whatever they do? And I suggested, well, it's really not, because it's not the Brenton Brown Ensemble. It's the Harmony Delegation, and we're here to see you sing, and Brenton is facilitating that for you. So that would imply to me that you need to take a lot of responsibility for all of these little tools, especially like starts and stops, cutoffs, because when you weren't watching them, we kind of let those things go by. So that's got to be a top-of-mind issue. It's got to be a skill that you improve and develop yourself. Hope you don't feel chastised by that. But I think Brenton will appreciate it because he's got so much more stuff that he can and wants to give you. So what's our goal? Suck a little less every day. That's all we ask for, man, right? Okay. Get a little better every day. Try to get better doing something every day, right? And if we do, we continue to grow. And barbershop is fun, but it's really fun when we sing it well and we entertain audiences. We have 6 more minutes. Any questions so far? That last chord, bam! Where did that come from? That was awesome. What's the vowel line?
Which song are you talking about?
Crazy.
Crazy About You?
Baby All Mine. Yeah. Bam! It's like, okay, wow. All right, we can make excellent barbershop tone. Let's see if we can do that throughout the rest of the song. It becomes challenging when we're singing words really fast. And we're singing things softer, but we can learn how to compensate for that. If we can get that kind of sound throughout the rest of the piece, you've just elevated yourselves by you've made audiences much, much happier and much more excited for you.
I was intrigued by because when I was up there on the stage and we started singing today, I felt like we were very just timid. I felt like it felt like scared bunny rabbits up there. And I was trying to kind of, but I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if it was our warm-up space or if it was just maybe we were in a new place and having trouble adjusting, but I just felt like it was very, very timid.
So not
when we were up
there. I can play you recordings of sessions like this, and almost every year we get the same comment. The timidity, and I don't know whether we have some way to go out into a similar venue and try to get over some of that timidity.
So the disadvantage that small choral ensembles have in this particular convention is they don't make accommodation for smaller riser setups, right? We're watching you, and you're in Missouri, right? Mm-hmm. We're in Kansas, so it's harder to connect with the audience because they're so much farther away that you can barely see the judges. So, you know, now it's different. The ambassadors are they fill that stage fully, and that makes a great impact. Something to consider might be just coming off the risers and cupping. I mean, you know, we're not yet at the cusp of qualifying to go to international or win a championship. So if we have these opportunities, why don't we just make, that might be a chance you might want to take. If you find that the riser space is set up for big choruses and might be difficult, come on up, because don't you like to be close to your audience and see them and experience how they feel? You may need to consider boxes if you need elevation change. Or you may be able to just get really good windows. You may have to modify choreography if you have that, because now you don't have risers to step on, and you're going to get in the way of people, and you know things are not going to be seen. But that might be worth trying. And other than that, it's really just being as confident as you can before you get out there. And yeah, could have been a warm-up room.
We were basically in a room just like this.
Yeah,
that's
not
great.
No, it's not conducive to a good warm-up.
No.
But I guess one thing that I've found for the courses that I've directed is I rarely will go through the songs completely in the day of the performance or the day of the contest, because there's not much I'm going to be able to help you repair that we haven't addressed already. So come in, starts, stops, successful spots. Hey, let's do this tricky bit. Great. Oh, hey, let's do the key change. Wonderful. And then lots of breaks, lots of singing. And you're probably doing a variation of that already. So if not yet, you don't want to beat the two songs. We're gonna do the set again, boys, because you don't want to leave your best shot in this crappy room,
right.
And not on stage. So, yes, sir.
Yes, I noticed that until you mentioned it, I hadn't realized. You walk on in this huge set of risers, and we're just a little bit in the middle.
Yeah.
And Brenton is a little further back than he is when he's directing us in at home in our own rehearsal hall. And the audience is way out there. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was being swallowed up by this enormous room.
Exactly. It's hard. I don't have a solution for that, right? Except maybe appeal to district convention management and suggest that, hey, this is a challenge for smaller groups. There are districts that make an effort. It requires some more work because now they've got they have usually like three different risers set up, like a 5, a 7, a 9, and then they do a lottery to see which one goes first. Otherwise, you always have the big guys at the end and they get all the fun, right? So that might be a way to approach it. But yeah, it's go.
Yeah, because the other was he commented that don't let anyone stand out. So you're sitting here while you're kind of in a small.
Yeah.
I don't want to sing too loud. And so consequently, I may have felt like I backed off.
Sure.
Not intentionally, but I wondered if that was an effect, that maybe we should try and fill the room a little more.
And the other thing, did you see Central Standard
mm-hmm.
performance? Yeah. So, and they, even though they're not a large chorus, they take more of the space.
Mm-hmm.
And I've found that that even singers that aren't confident tend to hear better when they have people just a little farther away from them, and they can contribute to the sound better and hear how it blends together. I think we're done. So you may want to look at 5. 5 is great. I think it's 5, but I'm here as long as you want me. Instead of having all your 20 or 24 singers kind of crammed onto the 3 risers, spread them out to 5 or 6 and see what that does for you in rehearsal space. You might find it's more freeing. You might find it's really scary and it doesn't work for you, but that would be another way to address the challenge of being a small ensemble on a large set of risers.
I realize there's a big backdrop behind all this.
Yes.
But if for some reason we had 6 choruses that were physically in smaller set ahead of time and doing, we were half and half,
right.
Do an intermission and get rid of that smaller set.
Right.
For the first 6
choruses. We did 6 choruses. We did 6. You're right. We did 6 and 6, and it probably mm-hmm. would have been too hard to change it to a 7-riser set from a 9 or 12.
I think we used to do that.
As I was going to say, in the last 10 years, we used to add risers.
There's been a time we've done that.
Sure. So that's a. And I'd be careful. I wouldn't put your fortunes or misfortunes all in this one feature we're describing. It's certainly an issue, and it certainly can affect you psychologically, but everybody else sings on that stage as well, right? There were 6 or 8 other ensembles that had 12 to 20 people, and they all sang with varying degrees of skill and artistry based on the level they're at. So
maybe we recruit more members.
Well, there you go.
Great idea.
Let's not shame anybody, but yeah, let's make sure that we have something that people want to join, and I think we do. And you've got a leader here who's crazy, awesome, and very sharp. And there's no if they're not coming, it's not because of him.
Oh, no, thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have any other questions? Anything that mystifies you or?
No. Thank you.
Yeah,
so
my pleasure.
I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Thank you, Brendan. Pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
Keep the faith, people.
Yep.
And thanks for all you do.
Thanks.
Bye, Brendan.
Thank you.
Bye.
My wife made the comment. She's heard us a lot. That we just speaking on sex. We just sounded so quiet. She could. She had it straightforward to see what we're singing.
I don't know.
But that was a comment that she made.
Yeah. I don't know how that happens because
we're supposed to be mic, aren't we?
Well, but
you
know,
for the judges. Mike, did you say?
Yeah, they got mics hanging there. Were they on?
The judges don't hear that.
Oh, that's for the audience. They try and make sure the judges don't hear it through a microphone.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I felt like when we were over at the hotel singing and even, you know, up in these rehearsals, we were making some really good sounds, but I just felt like, even in our warm-up room, I was like, I hope it's just because we're in this really small space or something. But then when we got on stage, it was my error. I should have, in the warm-up room, said, we're not singing like we need to be. So that was my mistake, but I really thought we were just trying to kind of compensate for the room and not... not to kind of be yelling too much in a small space, but so I take full ownership of that. But yeah, when we got up there on the stage, it just felt like, oh my gosh, there's hardly any sound to work with here. And it never sort of materialized into the fullness that I know.
I've been this course 20 years and it's a recurring theme. Partially, I think it's performance anxiety, if you want to say it, that we haven't dealt with. Secondly, we don't deal with well with the change in the venue, but we're afraid, and we've got to address that.
I don't think the volume was an issue on the first song, was it?
The second.
I mean, we were.
It was pretty good. I still didn't feel like we had the same sort of.
Still didn't.
I mean, it wasn't as bad, correct? But I still felt like we're not bringing it, we're not selling it, and giving everything on that song.
Well, I think we've got some good input from the judges and things, especially the enunciation of words for the second song is very critical for us. I thought we were producing a wall of sound pretty much, but you know, I'm not in front, so I don't know. But I thought we did okay on that first song. The second one, I think we were a little tentative and a little bit afraid of it. But we're a bunch of Lutherans, and we're being asked to do these emotive things, and for God's sake, you can't do that. And so you're overcompensating, trying to be very tender and stuff, and then you're being too quiet. And then we should have just sung the song.
But I will say this, and I'm glad that we... Do we need to vacate?
No. You're all done.
Yep, we're good.
Yeah, you're on your own.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad that we brought the piece, because I think actually it has helped us in a lot of ways see the things that we need to work on and magnify them, where if we would have taken two very, very safe pieces, we would have come out of here with sort of the same comments we always get every time. So I think that this time around, we've been able to focus on things that, you know, we've talked about, but we've never actually been able to fully check the box and achieve. You know, we've been talking all along about vowels and good singing and you know, not doing things that are going to stick out. We've talked about the diction and what we need. We've talked about entrances and cutoffs, how they need to be clean. So it's not like, let's face it, we all know what good singing is, and any judge who comes in here can say the same things, right? So, yeah, we know what we have to do. It's not a mystery, right? So it now becomes your individual task to improve these things, because I can't do it for you. Eldon can't do it for you. And as one of the judges, I think it was Blair that said it, you know what you got to do, but you got to do it. You can't rely on your neighbor to take it over. So you must know exactly where the cutoff is, exactly where your entrances are. And I still, to this day, even up on the stage today, had some people that every now and then were fudging words and didn't know all the stuff. So we work as a group, but we're still only as strong as the weakest link, kind of a thing. We have it in us. We have moments where we shine, and it's really, really nice. We're not consistent from performance to performance. We're not consistent even within a song. We'll have a really great intro, and then the next thing could be like, boy, have we never sung that before? It's just very inconsistent, and I have not found the magic sauce yet to know what it is to help us overcome those things. So, I mean, I have these very long philosophical conversations with Eldon and other people in the group about what can I try differently, or what works, what doesn't work, and I just have not yet found the spot to get us to be on 100% all the time and there. It's like we check out in different spots, and what can I do? Is there something? Is there something that you guys can point out or say, or works when we do this, doesn't work when we do that? I mean, anything. I mean, this is a chance for us to talk. We just did this performance. So what do we got? Yeah.
Somewhat similar to sectionals. maybe we could do a couple of double quartet type things, very large quartets doing two or three double quartets in sectional type things, but, and maybe personally we'll feel that we're not doing what we need to do to hold our part against other folks.
Like duets.
All right, he had his hand.
On the comment of being somewhat timid, this being my first conference and not knowing what to expect, it would have been helpful if we could have gotten into the space, did a single rehearsal at some point in time, and it could have been 11 o'clock at night, I don't care, but I get to then experience what the auditorium.
You need 500 of your closest friends to fill up the seat.
Yeah, exactly. But just having that experience, I didn't know what to expect. I had comments from others that would tell me, you're going to hear only yourself, you're not going to hear the rest of the chorus. That wasn't the case today, so I didn't have that issue, but it would have given us that much more confidence, maybe, to go into a space that was a larger space like that and experience what we would have for a sound.
Yes, I agree. I mean, obviously you can't go and use the conference venue, but to find a similar space, which for some reason in Des Moines seems to be difficult for us to get anyone to allow us to come in and use spaces. But yes, I agree. That can be helpful. Go ahead, Elliot.
I know everyone keeps saying timid, but also I think it's worth noting that prior to the annual show, I don't think we'd ever done a good job of singing softly at all before. So, yeah, this is the, like she was saying, you know, go too far and then we'll pull you back. Maybe we do probably just need to be pulled back up, because before, for the annual show, for the Christmas show, we did too much, and that has its risk with it. We were always too loud, but we've sung softly now, so we just need to find a balance between.
Sometimes our soft singing is not technically good singing. We kind of get to the weird, breathy kind of sound.
I think that we probably will have a certain amount of success in that when the judges go to dinner and they start talking, they're going to mention Des Moines coming up with this crazy song and maybe not quite pulling it off the way they want it, but I think we're going to get mentioned. And I think you're going to get a little bit of notoriety from this, which is great. And
priming the pump.
They'll give us a little more of a look the next time.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep.
All three categories mentioned the same thing. Thank you for bringing it.
I had mixed emotions on what to do with this darn song, and I kind of kicked myself that you know, we started working on it, doing it, and then we all kind of liked doing it, because I was like, well, crap, now we got to do it. Thank you for taking the journey. I think it's one of my favorite songs, which is why I used it as my vehicle to just play around with during COVID. And I think it can continue to be a good song for us. I don't think we kick it to the curb. I think we continue to work on it. And I think it's a good vehicle to force us to work on some stuff. But I saw another hand. Gary?
Oh, well, I'm going to back up a little bit because there was mention about working in sections and quartets and things like that. One thing that we really haven't done much of and maybe would help a lot is doing some shotgunning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you're standing
shotgun, not in your section.
I think it was also worthwhile because Gary is mentioning that many years ago, right.
You want to tell that story?
Yeah, go ahead. Had arranged a song and almost got disqualified.
Yeah.
And because the judges didn't like it.
They didn't recognize it.
If you look at the top four songs, were all arranged by Larry Wright.
And now that song, Old St. Louis, is one of the, standard. So.
Who here remembers when Ambassadors of Harmony used to be Daniel Boone chorus?
Yeah. Yeah.
The worst chorus in the central states forever.
Yeah.
So this is just an audience observation, and in general, in music, when music that should come from your soul becomes so competitive that you no longer can take risk and grow, you've lost, for me, you've lost the joy of being a performer. And so I was so glad, after sitting through multiple barbershop things, to hear something different. Did everybody, they didn't have the scores memorized, so they had to really listen. And that, to me, is what growing as a musician is. And so I applaud you for taking that kind of journey with these guys to help them grow as musicians, because that's really what it should be all about.
Thank you.
Not the competition.
It's good. Yeah, it's good. Good feedback.
Quick, as a fan, big fan of Barbershop for many, many, many years, the one thing I picked up on today is when he said you have to, Barbershop is all about ringing that chord. And I know as a spectator, that's what I listen for. If a group can ring that chord,
is it goosebumps?
It does.
And they commented on the tag.
So you can work on that.
Yep. Oh boy, there it is.
And
I do that all the time.
That is one thing that we have been talking about a lot over the past month, at least 2 months, is that every single chord has to ring. I feel like we have arrival points where we make it happen, but we're not consistently doing it all the way through. That's one of the things about barbershop music, is that there's a full chord, every single word beat of the music. There is a full chord there, and it should be consonant, meaning that it will ring. There's not, you know, weird dissonances. There's not, you know, the types of things that are going on in choral contemporary music. That's what makes barbershop different, is that we can ring everything. We just have not quite gotten to the point where that happens. We're getting better. We're getting better. I've seen a lot of growth. We had a weird... COVID was just... COVID crap. I felt like we kind of took a step backwards when we weren't meeting regularly. We were trying to do things over Zoom. Tried to rehearse outside. That was a mess. Let's just be honest. You've got horns honking and cars driving by and Jake brakes on semis every 2 seconds. It's not fun necessarily to sing outside, and it's not conducive to hearing. But I feel like once we've come back and we've really started working, I feel like we're really starting to get back into the technical things that will help us improve. One of the things that I've noticed in listening to some of the top tier choirs today that we are not able to do yet is to make strategic choices on how to approach the words. Our sound is disconnected from meanings of songs and words. I didn't particularly care for the music. It was the second song that Rob Vance's group did, Central Standard. I can't even remember what it is now. I didn't really like the song itself, but listening to it from a technical standpoint, they were so good about having emotion and nuance on every single word. There was not one thing left untouched. And we are not to that level yet, and that's where we need to be able to strive. When we're singing "Crazy About You, Baby, Want You All to Myself," is different than "Crazy About You, Baby, Want You All to Myself." But that means that every single individual has to be on that same page and able to execute at that level. We're not quite there yet. Yeah, what's your
point? I think we've got a lot of timidity in here, and when we did line up by section and had four people sing and then switch and then switch. And you're singing with different people every time and get you a chance to feel more a part of that group.
Mm-hmm. We can try that. We can definitely try that. What else? Anything? Yeah, Gene.
She touched on sectionals. I'm a big advocate of sectionals. With sectionals, I learn a song twice as fast, because I learned it from you, and I learned it from the section leader. And different people learn different ways. But you were saying about some people still fudging on words. I learn twice as fast if I can have 20 minutes of that sectional out of the 2.5 hours of practice.
Sure.
I'll learn twice as fast.
I don't know that we can split into four sectionals right now, and whether that would be, I don't know that we have like a leader that can actually like run and fix and look, you know, in each section and do that. But we could probably, I mean, we could definitely at least break down into two sections and have, you know, some folks leading that. So I think we can go that direction. Go ahead, Brian.
I think we can all agree that your ear is the most acute. So if you were to work out a schedule,
yep, rotate,
where you conduct for 10 minutes, let's say, you know, bass and baritone separately, and Eldon can work with the others, or they can, you know, play chess or whatever. You have the musical ability and the ear to be able to do that more than anybody, I think. And it'll be up to you to work out a schedule, but I think it'd be very worthwhile.
Well, and maybe we all need to grow a little bit thick skin in order to have you maybe work with some individuals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that's something that's hard to, you know, take that. But, yeah, maybe, okay, you're not doing this right or you're not whatever. Maybe we need more of that. We may need thicker skins to accept that.
To follow up on that. When you say, okay, you need to sing more like this. Some people, you say that to the section when it's really one individual. So the individual that's not doing that, he takes that to the extreme. So now you got three going like this. And the guy that really needs to do it, he thinks you're talking to the other guy, not to him. So to follow up with Rick says, you need to point at me and say, hey,
I've been trying to do increments a little bit more
like
that.
Like a dad and a child.
But I'm trying not, because I don't want this to be something where people are scared to sing or are going to feel bad. I don't want that at all. I mean, everything I do is always to improve all of us.
But you guys don't need to worry about it. He's only picking on me ever. Whatever it is, I always feel that. Get used to it.
Yep.
And you should.
Yeah, if I need to fix it, I don't want you yelling at the section. Yell at me.
Well,
I'm going to take ownership, like Claire said. I think that's a growing up. That's a maturity thing.
Sure.
We need to take ownership. We need to own it.
Well, then let's talk on Monday about how we want to approach and do that. I mean, I can start doing more of that if we're all comfortable with it and we're okay doing that. Yes.
I just have one suggestion. Yeah. It's been really neat to have the wives here. And so I was quizzing them afterwards, you know, and say, could you understand? No, couldn't understand. So here's the takeaway. Invite the wives.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know what the words are supposed to be, even though we may not be enunciating them. But they don't know them. And so we invite the wives to one specific rehearsal as, you know, ladies who are familiar with barbershop.
Yeah.
And then we get there.
Well, I actually think we could benefit from having guests at our rehearsals.
Yes.
We sing in a different way when you actually have a little bit of an audience.
Yeah, like,
as we found out on, what was that, Monday night, we actually had a few people come and watch, and suddenly people sang in a way they never did before, and it highlighted either things that we needed to kind of fix or focus on, and so, I think that, that's a good idea, and thank you, Brian. I saw another hand somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, David.
Well, somebody already mentioned it, but if you sing in a quartet or a double quartet, you're forced to learn your part.
Yeah.
And on every song, at some point, we should have to do that so that you know, I really don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, when you sing in a quartet, you find out that, you know, I'm not relying on...
Nobody's going to do it for you.
When
you sing in a quartet, if your part is wrong, it's you.
It's you.
Right.
And if you, you know, if everybody has to do that at some point. You know, it strengthens them. You know, then, you know, hey, I need to learn that.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, and when you're singing in a quartet, you know you're singing it wrong before the other three guys do.
Yeah.
Maybe Brett, we know every rehearsal, Brett picks up four individuals.
out of the thing and say, okay, guys, go to it. Randomly. You sing it.
Yeah.
On your own in front of the rest of the group.
There you go.
So, and everybody then will start to mentally think, oh, yeah, I got to know that part.
Because that might get fixed.
Down
the
path. Yeah.
One thing
you
said
in my report. Maybe.
Maybe. I went to lead for singing, and then he would sing exactly with the bass, lead bass. The other two would listen and say, this needs to be. And then he does lead baritone, and then he has lead tenor. And then they start. But you've done some of that, but that's really helpful because you hear how you relate to the lead
sure.
part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was helpful when Larry would come scooting out in front of us and talk to one of us individuals out there. And I think that helps. I think you're right. We have to take ownership and grow a thick skin. If we're doing it wrong, if I'm doing the choose, I think you look right at me. Choose. Damn it! I thought it. But that's what it takes.
Oh, you mean it isn't always me?
just about 80% of the time.
Okay. Good. Well, it sounds like we're maybe on the same page.
I think the idea of having an audience would be great if you could plan on like one, the first Monday of the month or the last Monday of the month, so that we know when that is, you guys can practice and get ready, and then we'll have guests come in, but make it consistent so that you guys know what to prep for and we know when to show up.
Bring cookies. Come on over.
Yeah. We can bring cookies.
Okay. Thank you. I think it's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
All right. It's late, and we need lunch, and we need to change, and the next thing that happens is 8 o'clock.
4:30.
Quartet, that's right. I was thinking the big show at the end. Yeah, 4:30. So get some lunch, do things. I'm going to probably get out of this tuxedo.
One last thing. Vince, you've been around forever. You've got wisdom of any international champion. Any input for us?
Well, there's been a lot of good input, and I've been listening to all of it. I think some of the suggestions regarding duetting and trioing and that kind of thing, I think could be helpful in trying different standing arrangements. One thing that's concerned me about the inability to hear some of the other parts, no matter where I seem to be standing. Now, I am aware that I've had some loss of hearing later in life. I also found out that I can hear singing and other kinds of music better when I take my hearing aids out because they obstruct sound. So they don't always pick up the voices and then send it back to me instantaneously in a way that I can hear it better. So
you need to recruit an audiologist. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know one. I'd be curious about having more horseshoe-shaped singing and having some antiphonal stuff here with 10 guys standing on this side and 10 guys standing on this side or make it to 15 and 15 as we increase in size, standing almost opposite each other with pairing the parts, pair of leads here, pair of basses and so on, but having these two groups of 10 or 15 sing toward each other, and they can, I think, and standing fairly close together. It may or may not be meaning on risers at all, but so we can have some experience of hearing the other three parts with much more frequency than we are now. I don't know how many of you guys, where you're standing on the risers, can hear at any point in time the other three parts.
What do guys do when they sing tags?
Have you guys ever used?
And there ought to be more taxing, and there ought to be more quartets.
I don't know if you even realized this, but I put one of these in the side that was away from the choir so I could hear myself and tune myself better. And then the rest of the choir was this way to me. Now, that was because I was on the very end. But something like that in rehearsal might help us get the tones that we need to hear ourselves and tune ourselves to the guy who's next door to us. Maybe something like that's something we should
play around with. That's something, like I said, with shotgunning.
Just a technical question. Does the ability to ring chords, to hear the ringing of chords, is that just brain power, or is it a matter of your ear?
Yes.
You mean just to...
All of the above.
Well, you mean as a listener?
What? Well, I mean, 60% of the people in this room are old enough that their audiology, they can only go about 2 octaves above, and they can't hear anything else. It's about 4,200 hertz. And so there is a technical reason you can't hear certain things. I don't know whether ringing a chord, not comprehending that we've rung a chord, is that I don't appreciate it, or it's my audiologic problem.
Interesting. Well, ringing a chord is not necessarily, I mean, it does rely on, yes, overtones. So you have the fundamental pitch, and then the first overtone is an octave above that, and then it's and it goes in various partials above that. So, but ringing a chord really works when you have two very similar timbres that hit consonant or perfect intervals, which are like fourths and fifths and octaves. So it's the difference between if I have two guitar strings and they're, let's say, a G and a D, okay? You strum them both together. You say, that's in tune. Now, hold on. I twist it a little bit. Oh, that's more in tune. Twist a little bit more. Oh, that sounds even better. Even though they're both kind of in the neighborhood playing the two pitches, it's the ability to actually be precise with the intervals, and that means that we all have to sound like one string. I mean, the people that are the G string, I should have said G string, sorry, the people that are supposed to be that note has to sound like it's one individual singing the note. The other section and that's singing the fourth above it or the fifth above it has to all sound like one unified voice. And then you twist those little tuning pegs until all of a sudden it just pops because it's exactly where it needs to be. And then you get the sympathetic vibrations and overtones ringing above that. We're not at a spot yet where we can really twist those tuning pegs. We're still getting to the just get everyone in the right neighborhood. We haven't gotten everyone to the exact house yet. And that's a level of ear training that we need to find a way to start to develop. And that maybe is harder as you know, if you have hearing aids or hearing issues, it's a little hard to do. But if you base on what you're hearing with your neighbor on the stuff you can hear, then even if maybe you're not perceiving the other stuff, if it's working down here, it'll work up there.
Earwax. For 10 years or more, I've used earwax remover aids, Debrox drops.
Uh-huh.
It helped.
Really?
It really helps, and I've always wanted to buy 5 of these and just hand them out.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Bring them in. All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Go get some lunch. Yes, expand sound. Yep.
There's a 2 hours.